All right, so today is Monday, August 26th, 2008, and I'm talking with Don Ryder, who's a tribal... Fish and Wildlife Manager for the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin.
Yes.
All right. Don, I just want to start with just a little background information. How long have you been in your current position working with the tribe?
Well, my current position with the tribe started back in 1991. The tribe came up with a fish and wildlife management position, and since then I've been working.
And when did you start working on sturgeon?
Well, it all started way back in 1993, where tribal, state, and federal biologists came together. It was something where we had some tribal elders come before the management board, our fish and wildlife management, and ask us if they could actually go down and spear lake sturgeon, and we told them not at this time. So then it all actually started back in 1993.
So that incident happened, and there was a lot of talk between different agencies, and finally what happened then was lake sturgeon plan then developed for the tribe. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's all started back in 1993, but in 1994, like I said, we had federal, state, and tribal biologists all came together for initial talks. It was hard at first, because to get everybody to the table, it seemed like it was a long time coming. But then when we did get everybody together, everybody came, and we poured through the plan, came up with a plan pretty quick. And then I think we finalized the plan in 1995, but before that we've had to meet. There was several meetings we had to do within Northeast Wisconsin, all along the Wolf River, all the way to Lake Winnebago, meet with different citizens groups, as well as tribal people.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Can you talk a little bit about those meetings? What was discussed at those meetings?
Well, first of all, once our Menominee Lake Sturgeon Management Committee came up with the plan itself to be reviewed, once we put together a writing copy, we had to set forth several meetings, because the plan itself had to be accepted by the tribal people first, and they accepted that. So then after they accepted it, we had to meet with like Lake Sturgeons for Tomorrow, other citizens group, I can't remind what the groups were.
Shadows on the Wolf.
Then we even met with some people in Green Bay. Them meetings, we just discussed what was going on, what our restoration plan entailed, and what just the logistics of the whole plan itself. And we just met and discussed, and once they got on board, the plan itself was signed itself and pushed forward.
So the restoration plan, what does it entail? What are the different parts of it?
There's like three different aspects to the plan itself. One is look and see, because in a Menominee culture, the Kachina Falls was one of the original spawning areas for the lake sturgeon, and we wanted our historical preservation, and our elders came through and wanted to have a location that people could come and see lake sturgeon again. And that was one of the give and takes through our meetings with the state and the citizens group, that okay, we could get the fish over the dam, 20 fish per year, but they would be a look and see. So the Wolf River has separate regulations where the fish are protected. So the fish that are protected on the Wolf River, they're non-harvestable. So we have wardens watching the river and checking our spear fishermen, since we know there's lake sturgeon at one of the every falls. So that's a look and see method, is basically for tribal members could watch them spawn at the original known spot was Kachina Falls. So that's one important aspect. The other aspect is our put, grow, and take fishery we have on Legend Lake. It's a fishery, again, agreed on by the federal, state, and tribal biologists, that we could put the Lake Winnebago strain of lake sturgeon into and watch them grow. And we actually started in 1994 putting fish into Legend Lake. And that's going to be our harvestal population for the tribal members.
And has that been, I think you actually had a spearing season that opened a few years ago?
Actually, due to the success of the fish, we do a lot of lake sturgeon population assessments all through October. And we found out now we have a harvestable population. And that started in 2005. But now the season's been open since 2005. But our next thing is to get tribal members to harvest the fish.
And so how has that been going?
It's more falls on me because it's got to be an educational aspect. And we're going to be trying to do a couple new educational seminars on how to catch fish and just to get people more interested in capturing lake sturgeon.
I was looking at, I've been doing some research on the Menominee tribe, and it does seem like from what I've been reading that ice spearing tradition probably was kind of lost because once the Menominee tribe came here on the reservation, there really wasn't, there wasn't any lake sturgeon up here to do that ice harvesting. That was mostly done in Green Bay and down on Lake Winnebago when the tribe wasn't just combined to a... So that will be an educational process then.
Yes, it will be. I still think it's going to be well rewarding once we do get the first lake sturgeon harvested, but we're getting close.
Now, are there still any spears around, or, is that tradition, do any elders remember that, or is that pretty much kind of been quieted down?
There is a spear fishing season, but it's on other fish species.
Oh, okay.
The spears that they use for the other fish would not be used for lake sturgeon. And
much smaller, Okay.
But the elders, there's not really a talk right now from the elders on our lake sturgeon spearing. That occurred way back when.
Right. Okay. Well, we're standing here at the base of Sullivan Falls, and I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about, you were kind of talking previously before I got this, about what you've noticed about the adult sturgeon that you've stocked here or placed here before.
Our original plan, in our original plan, 94 through 97, we used Cushina Falls as a stocking place for the annual adult harvest, or adult transfer. That worked to some extent, but we did start losing fish every spring due to ice, frazzle ice, and they'd push the fish through Balsam Road and go through Balsam Road Seminar, Balsam Road Dam. But then we moved our second location was Big Eddy Falls, which is 5 miles north of Cushina, and with some success we realized that we had Big Eddy and down we had pretty much a population of about 15 to 17 fish that would stay year in and year out at Big Eddy until the spring. Then we'd get an influx of fish moving down. So then our third area for stocking adult transfers was Sullivan Falls. And right, we've been doing this since 1998, 2000. And we've been finding out that we can keep lake sturgeon longer as we transfer them to Sullivan Falls. We do all our surgeries. Implantations of internal C-cell transmitters right here at the falls. So we've been noticing we had trouble when we used to do the surgery down by Cushina Falls and then move them up. The loss rate of the transmitters was over 50%. So now we install the transmitters up here, and they hold our transmitters pretty much 100%.
And they have different kind of seasonal movements. They're doing different things in the spring than they are in the fall.
Yes, through radio telemetry work we've done on the Wolf River, we found out that yes, they do. They do move during the summers. They find the large holes along the Wolf River, let's say Smoky Falls, the Wolf River Dells, upper and lower Dells, there's fish located at them. A couple of locations in between the falls themselves. And then you get all the way down to Big Eddy. Then there's some fish now located at Cushina Falls. And the object is we find out we're monitoring the habitats, the critical habitats they're using. And we're also going to be monitoring or doing a project on the amount of spawning areas on the Wolf River.
And how do you feel about working with this fish? I mean, you weren't working on lake sturgeon before, and suddenly, it's a kind of a remarkable fish to be working with. And how do you feel about it with its history with the tribe?
I think from a cultural standpoint, it's really self-rewarding having the tribal elders, because most of our management is done by what the tribal elders stated would happen in the past. And we got something with Menominee Fish and Wildlife Management is we got to take the biological standpoint and also with the culture. So we, instead of just the biological monitoring, we have a culture aspect we got to put in our management. So it's really, for me, it's really been self-rewarding working with the elders and also working with this fish, because as you know, it's the fish have never been here. So it's something to find out its baby steps and seeing what they actually use. And it's just from day one, I've got a full record of what these fish will do, and it's just something to know.
I have some papers to give you, but in some of the research that I've been doing, I've found records, and I was wondering if you've heard anything about this or seen anything before, but I found records that actually the Menominee tribe requested from the Conservation Commission before it was the DNR. I think it changed over in 67 or something. So the Conservation Commission, Menominee tribe elders actually requested sturgeon to be stocked on the reservation as far back as the 1930s. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Dave Bruno, too, to see if he has any. But
yeah, he would be the one to ask.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else you want to add?
Darn it, I was thinking about something with adults.
I really liked it when I was here with you before. I took some photos of you releasing the fish, and it was just really neat. You kind of held their tails and waited for them to kind of just swim off, and was a pretty neat thing to see.
No, I guess that's it.
Okay. All right.